What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season. And now this is going on our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys? Welcome back to the show. If you don't already, make sure you go subscribe to us on Apple Music and follow us on Spotify if you don't already. But we have a super fun show for you guys today because we're going to be getting into some draft grades. But first, we have the news that Tom Telesco spoke on the Pat McAfee show and gave some insight onto what the team would have done had Tua been an option with the sixth overall pick. So we'll start there. And then in the second segment, we'll be getting into the first three picks for the Chargers: Justin Herbert, Kenneth Murray, and Josh Kelly, before in the last segment getting into the last three picks when we talk about the two receivers and also Alohi Gilman at the end of the show before giving our final overall grade for the draft class. So let's go ahead and get into it. Los Angeles Chargers general manager Tom Telesco made one of his first public appearances, and he gave some insight on what the team thought about Tua Tagovailoa had he been available with the sixth overall pick. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. General manager Tom Telesco appeared on the Pat McAfee show on Tuesday, and Pat McAfee, his former punter from his time with the Indianapolis Colts, asked him straight up, if the Miami Dolphins had selected Justin Herbert, would you guys have selected Tua Tagovailoa with the sixth overall pick? And he said, yeah, we felt great about all three quarterbacks that went in the top six. When you pick this high and there's a potential down the road franchise quarterback there, you have to take him. So I think this is very telling because we weren't sure if the Chargers were all in on Tua because of Tom Telesco's prior comments, how highly the team thinks about durability when they are deciding on selecting one of these players. And we all heard all of the smoke screens that went around through the offseason, and that could have been one of those as well. But many people were wondering what the Chargers would have done had he been there. And from the looks of this, David, from the way he sounded answering that question, it sure seems like the Chargers would have been happy getting Tua at sixth overall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that they would have been enthralled to have Tua fall to them at six. But no matter what, they were going to get a quarterback in this draft. Tom Telesco also made a comment about not picking in the top 10 very often. That's not something that he wants to do. He said if he does that much more, he's not going to have a job as a general manager. And he's definitely absolutely right about that. And especially after missing out on opportunities to get Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, you saw how that worked out. They had to get a quarterback. Justin Herbert was that guy. The one question we don't know, Daniel, is if both of those guys were on the board when the Chargers picked at six, who would they have taken?
Yeah, we definitely do not know that for sure. There has been some unconfirmed reporting out there that the Chargers had Tua Tagovailoa higher than Justin Herbert. They also said that Isaiah Simmons was higher than Justin Herbert, but the quarterback position, like you said, is something they felt they had to address now. There were no clear options in free agency in the future. You're not planning on having a top 10 pick next season to go and get somebody like Trevor Lawrence. So I think that made the decision easier once Tua was off the board. But another thing that he said was that the Chargers ran through every scenario that could have happened as far as trading up or trading back and talking about all of the rumors. He said he did not believe the Miami rumor that they're moving up to three to get an offensive tackle and not a quarterback. But that begs the question, David, if you had Tua Tagovailoa hypothetically above Justin Herbert on your big board, that means that you probably were checking off on his health and you felt like his health was not enough of a concern to keep you from taking him at six. If that's the case, then why was there no talk about potentially moving up to the fourth spot or the third spot overall to get Tua if he was higher on your board?
So with that being said, Daniel, it makes you feel like the gap between Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert in their eyes was not large enough for them to make a trade, because according to Adam Schefter, the Giants nor the Lions that picked at 3 and 4 got any phone calls from anyone, including the Chargers, to trade up to those picks. So it seems like the gap was not large enough. They seem like they would have been content with picking either one of those guys. But, you know, if he is higher on your board, Daniel, why don't you go up and make the move to go get him?
And that was my whole philosophy, especially when the Dolphins didn't end up moving up to 3. I think it could have been a reasonable transaction to get up to 4 and switch with the Giants, especially seeing that they wanted an offensive tackle and knowing the Dolphins were going to end up taking a quarterback regardless. So I think there was other things that could have happened, but maybe the injuries were enough to kind of even the playing field of just having Justin Herbert fall to you instead of having to give up that draft capital. And if you end up trading up for that, you probably don't have the capital to end up getting back into the first round to get Kenneth Murray, and we know how highly they think about him. So I think at the end of the day, the Chargers definitely were interested in Tua, but if Tua ends up being the much better player, we will always look back at this and wonder, why didn't you just move up, Tom Telesco? But we do have two more segments to get into because we're talking about draft grades. Everyone wants to know draft grades these days, and we know there's still so much to prove, and we haven't even seen these guys put on a helmet at the NFL level yet, but draft grades are always fun, so we're going to be getting to picks 1 through 3 right after this. But first, I have to tell you guys that this episode is brought to you by Postmates. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house or even opening the door for that matter. Given what's going on in the world, they created a non-contact delivery, so now when I order food from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I have been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants as well. Listen up, you guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support my community. Just download the Postmates app on iOS or Android to find your favorite restaurants and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for their first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL, all caps, one word, for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, David, well, now I want to get into some draft grades because almost everyone does some sort of draft grades, all while knowing the fact that we really don't know how these players are going to pan out yet. So I just want to start this segment just by saying, hey, I'm not going to be grilling any of these players because we don't know what they're going to be, but this is just going based on what we saw on tape. This is just going based on what we would have done had we gotten to the pick at the same time that the Chargers ended up doing. Would we have made that same selection, and how did they fill out the overall teams? But I want to start with the Chargers' first pick at 6th overall, where they went with Justin Herbert. So, David, this is a pick that is obviously the Chargers' most talked about pick. So, at the end of the day, I know it's not necessarily the guy you wanted, but what would you give the Chargers as a letter grade?
Yeah, so initially when I saw this pick, Daniel, I mean, it was like, okay, well, I kind of understand. I knew they were going to take a quarterback. They had to. I mean, and, you know, obviously this guy was highly touted coming out of college. You know, he has the NFL build. So I was like, all right, my initial grade is a C+, because they had to get a guy. They had to get somebody to groom. Now, after, you know, watching the whole kind of draft unfold and seeing how they got guys that are going to build an offense around Justin Herbert, guys that are going to be able to make his offense move, that makes me give it a little bit better of a grade, makes me think that this coaching staff is going to be able to put a game plan around him for him to be successful. So I bumped it up to a B-.
Yeah, it's funny that you bumped it up to a B-, just because that's where I had it. I mean, obviously, I have my feelings about Justin Herbert, and I also have my feelings about, you know, draft philosophies in general, and as far as reaching for players. You think about the value of the pick, and that's a part where I don't think the Chargers are really getting value. Of course, if he turns out to be your franchise quarterback and can lead you to wins and lead you to the playoffs and lead you to more than that, obviously, this is a great value. Getting your franchise guy for the 6th pick is a great value, but we just don't know what that's going to be yet. So we're just basically trying to find out the probability of what he is going to end up turning into. So I agree with you. You knew going into it, whoever got Justin Herbert was going to have to try to cater to the things that he does well, especially early on in his NFL career, and deal with the fact that he didn't have to do much processing and things like that when he was at Oregon. So I think it does give me some solace, and I think a B-, knowing that you had to get your quarterback, even if it's not the guy that we all wanted, I think that's a fair grade. So now we go to the next pick, and this one has a little bit more to it because it comes with more, because basically this is your second and your third pick, because you traded your third pick away to move up from the 37th overall pick to the 23rd overall pick. And I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, this is, you're not losing two picks. You're moving up from one by giving up another. But this made it so the Chargers had no picks between pick 23 and 112. And I think that kind of adds to the conversation about the value of this pick. So, David, what did you give the grade of the Chargers not just getting Kenneth Murray, but moving up to get Kenneth Murray and taking him with the 23rd overall pick?
Yeah, when they traded up to get a linebacker, I was a little iffy on it, honestly. I didn't really like it too much. I mean, looking at the player, obviously you love what he's going to do on the football field. He definitely is a three-down linebacker type of guy, a run-and-hit linebacker, as I've heard many, many times. But he's got some tenacity, some speed. I love the way he plays the game. But to see them kind of trade a third-round pick away where they could have addressed another need while getting a linebacker in the same draft, it soured it a little bit for me. But then going back and watching the way this guy plays, adding a linebacker, a true middle linebacker, a guy that you feel that's going to come in and help you start right away when they haven't had a really good middle linebacker in a very long time, I think this really kind of gives you playmakers at all levels of your defense now. So I think it's a B pick for me.
Yeah, I gave it a B plus on my grading scale. I think if it wasn't the Chargers moving up, if they had gotten him at 37, I think it's an A. I mean, I think it's an easy A, borderline an A plus pick, just because we've talked about for so long how long it's been since the Chargers have had an impact linebacker. So I get the criticism of moving up for a guy that's an off-ball linebacker, basically meaning that he's not rushing the passer for the most part, even though he is going to help you in that aspect as well. So I think Kenneth Murray, as far as being that presence in the middle of the field, having that demeanor and bringing a physicality and speed that this defense didn't have before, is enough to warrant, you know, trading up for. I don't like giving up the third round pick. I've said that many times. Obviously, that was the cost in this case. I don't think he would have been there at 37. And I think 23rd value wise, as far as if you were just picking 23rd and had taken him there, I think it would be a different discussion. But I think the value is right around there. And I think the Chargers did a good job. Did they address a position of need? Yes. Did they upgrade big time at that position? Yes, they did. They added speed and range to their linebacking core, and they brought some more physicality to their defense. I think it's a really good pick for the Chargers. So I'm happy giving that one an overall B plus. So getting to the last pick of the first three, the first batch of picks that we are grading right now, this brings us to Josh Kelly. And I think there's some questions about the value with Josh Kelly. There's the questions of just how productive he is going to be, how involved he's really going to be in the offense. There's lots of things that you could say about Josh Kelly. Overall, I like the player, but David, when you're looking at the player, how he fits in, the value that they got for him, what are you giving the Chargers for a letter grade on this one?
So with Joshua Kelly, I mean, I love the way he's built and the way he runs. I think his running style definitely complements what the Chargers need in their room. They already have two guys that are shifty and elusive, that can make guys miss. They need the guy that's going to be able to run the clock down, that's going to be able to grind on defenses and wear them out and get those short yardage. That's Joshua Kelly. That's what he did. That's what he did in his 2 years at UCLA. Both ran for over 1,000 yards as well, so this guy is productive. But in the fourth round, that's where I had the problem. I just felt like they could have addressed running back a little bit later and maybe got a better player in the fourth round besides Joshua Kelly. I mean, obviously, I like the way he fits the offense, but I just don't like the value in the fourth round for a running back. So I gave it a C-, and I think I'm honestly going to stick with that.
I understand that, and I think value is a big part of it. I think the nice thing about Josh Kelly is they make the pick, and you instantly kind of know what it's going to look like and how they're going to use them, just because of what they needed to get as far as a third running back. And I'm glad that, you know, they picked a guy that could complement what those other guys do well. And Austin Ekeler has had some injury issues. He's not injury prone, I wouldn't say, but Justin Jackson hasn't been able to make it through a full season yet. So I think that just having that insurance there, having a guy you feel really good about at that position, and not just having, you know, an undrafted free agent off the street as your backup like they've had some of the last years, you know, with guys like Troy Maine Pope last year. We also saw it with Detrez Newsome a couple years ago. Now you have a guy you invested a fourth round pick on at UCLA, where, you know, you saw him play very closely and you got to see him play a lot. I like the pick. I definitely think the value is the part that really makes you question it, just because you don't want to spend a fourth round pick with the needs that you have. That's not a need that's at the top of the list. So you didn't address your biggest need with that pick, but you combine all of the things I've said before, just with the fact that AJ Dillon ended up going before the fourth round, Zach Moss ended up going before the fourth round. I mean, I think there was a little run on running backs that no one really expected. So I definitely have to dock them a little bit for kind of just panicking and grabbing a guy that, you know, potentially could have been there in the fifth round, potentially even maybe could have been there in the sixth round. It's hard to tell where they went, but I think that one, the value is definitely not there. I gave that one a B minus as well, just because it is a guy that's going to contribute. I could see him playing on special teams as well, and he fills a hole that this Chargers team really hasn't had, and a big part of what they lost with Melvin Gordon. I think he could even be better as far as, you know, short yardage situations and those things than Melvin Gordon was for this team. So I like the pick, but overall I'm giving it a B minus. But we do have three more picks to get into, grading the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds of the 2020 NFL draft before wrapping things up with our overall grade coming up right after this. All right, David. So I just want to start before we get into picks five, six, and seven, just with the fact that we talked about before, the Chargers, you know, getting an offense that's going to be tailored around Justin Herbert and them kind of giving clues to what Shane Steichen and Anthony Lynn want to do offensively, especially with the picks they made right about now. So starting with the fifth round pick, I'm talking about Joe Reed from Virginia. This was a guy that not many people had heard of going into it. It was a guy that I didn't watch film on going into it, and I watched film on a ton of wide receivers, and it's kind of hard to gauge what his value was. But what we know he's going to bring is competition at the kick returner spot. Him and Darius Jennings will probably have to battle that out. You're going to get some of the gadget plays and open up some quick plays for Justin Herbert, because you can give him those bubble screens. You can throw him wide receiver screens, or even bring him in jet sweep motion and hand him the ball off as well. A lot of things you can do with that. So I think the Chargers with this pick ended up showing a lot of their cards as far as what they want to do. And I think when you're judging this, when you're putting a value on this, and when you're grading this, those are all things that you have to take into perspective, because I think it definitely makes the grade a little bit higher.
It definitely makes the grade a whole lot higher when you take the whole picture in mind and you say, how are they going to take this guy and help Justin Herbert be a better quarterback? Well, you look at the offense that Justin Herbert ran at Oregon, a lot of quick passes, a lot of getting the ball to guys in space and letting them do what they do. Well, like you, Daniel, I didn't really watch any tape on Joe Reed. I never heard of him, but you know, so when I initially saw the pick, I was like, well, I don't really know who this guy is. So I immediately went to go watch some tape, and man, this guy in the open field is absolutely electric. One of the best kick returners in college football. Actually, he was the best kick returner in college football last year. So you see, and this is a big guy, you know, he's very elusive in the open field. And that's exactly what the Chargers are going to need. And also, he can line up in the backfield. He can line up at receiver. He's going to help you in multiple different ways. So honestly, after watching Joe Reed, I love what he brings to the table. I give the pick a B minus.
Dang, I definitely thought you were going to go higher than that. I mean, if you loved him, a B minus, that seems a little bit harsh. I'm very interested to see.
I'm a tough grader.
I'm interested to see what the overall grade that you give is. And obviously we're basing this just on the player. We will go back and give kind of a draft where we will be like, this is the best case scenario the Chargers could have gotten out of this draft. But on today's show, we're just talking about these players specifically. So with Joe Reed, I mean, what you're going to get as far as a guy that isn't necessarily a deep threat just because of his pure speed and his 40 time, but is a guy that can be a deep threat because he ends up catching the ball down there. He's a guy that gets physical in the middle of the field and has great field vision, can turn those really quick passes into much bigger plays. And I really just like what he brings to the table. And I think if the Chargers use him the right way, they could be getting a really explosive weapon to try to keep up with some of these high-powered offenses and the rest of the AFC West. I mean, just adding a ton of offense. And now you have another weapon to try to do that. So I love the player. I love the fit. If the Chargers are going to run the kind of offense that we think they are going to, I gave this pick an A minus because I felt like, did they fill a need? Yes, they filled two needs. You have a guy that could compete, you know, at least for some snaps as wide receiver three, and also got a starting kick returner. I mean, I think even with what Darius Jennings has done at the pro level, this guy is going to give him a good run for his money. And you just kind of got an X factor offensively, and a guy that should fit in alongside Justin Herbert just to make things a little bit more simple for him, to really ease him into the league and also help out Tyrod Taylor, who isn't the same quarterback as Phillip Rivers and is going to need some of those quicker outlet throws and quicker plays as well. That should go well if the Chargers want to, you know, have a very run heavy offense. So,
and I was going to say, just give this guy the ball and watch him work, man. He is absolutely amazing in the open field. He is a guy that is going to get yards after catch because that is what he does.
And we already talked about it before, but I mean, this guy would have gone much higher had he had any sort of quarterback, just competency. I mean, literally looked like out there that he was playing with one of the worst quarterbacks in the country. It's up there with like TCU. I mean, TCU had a pretty bad quarterback situation when I was watching Jalen Reagor. Those were the two guys I'm just like, those guys got no help from their quarterback at all. It would have been crazy to see the numbers this guy would have put up. But I mean, you see the low, you know, under 10 yards per catch average. It's like that is just because Virginia was just saying, hey, here's the ball. Go make something happen. And that's a pretty difficult task. I mean, just to kind of manufacture yards like that. But it is something he can do very well. And I think he's going to make a lot of guys miss. And I think he's going to make a lot of big plays for the Chargers and get a lot of first downs for them if he ends up, you know, really getting implemented into this offense. So let's move to the next pick. This was the first curveball pick, David. If that was in the C's, I can only imagine where you have this pick. Now we're talking about safety from Notre Dame, Alohi Gilman, guy who's a very physical player, a guy that reads and processes very quickly and loves to get downfield and try to hit people. And it's a guy that, you know, we didn't really talk about it, but that Tom Telesco said that he envisions as a safety. They took him for special teams, and I think he will be a really good special teams fit. He's a guy that, you know, wants to get out there and run, and I think that he'll be very good on coverage teams and plays like that where he just, you know, has a very simplified run and go get the guy, go find the ball and bring him down. I think he'll be good in that aspect. But the Chargers didn't really need a safety with this spot, and we're not really convinced he can be a safety at this point, David. So with all of those factors, what grade do you give this one?
Yeah, I'm not going to really pull any punches on this one. I honestly hated this pick. When I saw it, I was like, what in the hell are they doing? I mean, if they want to add guys for special teams value, then go get a couple guys and sign them off the street, undrafted free agent type guys. I don't think you need to invest a draft pick on a safety when there is already a logjam of safeties on this team. I just did not understand the pick. This guy is small, he's feisty, but he doesn't really get off blocks as a safety. He overruns some lanes as well. So, I mean, I just did not like this pick at all. I mean, obviously, you know, I let every single pick that the Chargers make go out and play on that football field and then determine what my opinion is going to be on them. But right now, my initial reaction on Alohi Gilman was not good. I gave it a D-.
Yeah, I figured a grade like that was coming for you, and I understand where you're coming from, just because, I mean, basically you're saying you don't think that he is a safety. I mean, I thought for a safety, he actually got off blocks fine. I mean, I thought he beat blocks to the spot a lot of times just by kind of reading so quickly, but my issue was, you know, when we saw him playing big teams like Georgia, he was just sliding off people, and that's just something you can't have, especially, you know, if you're ticket into the league is kind of being a smaller physical guy that's going to go in and lay some hits. And Tom Telesco was kind of raving about him being a really big hitter and just loving his physicality and loving the way he reads and processes. And I think, you know, the Chargers don't have Adrian Phillips. We still don't really know how the Desmond King situation is going to play out. So wanting some depth there at strong safety and also at nickel linebacker, which is, I feel like, really the only place he could fit in with his size and the way he likes to play. I mean, I understand the pick, and I think obviously special teams is a big part of it, but I think the other thing people have to understand too is we're talking about a sixth round pick, and which of the last Chargers sixth round picks really came in and was very successful. So I think a lot of people had very big hopes for this, but I think if you get a really good special teams player and someone that can develop into a sub package player and can contribute on the defense, I don't hate the pick, but that being said, I still gave it a C+. I don't think it was a need for the Chargers, and you're not going to maybe get a lot of help, but maybe you can find some depth at another position with that pick. So I definitely
generous. Gone.
Yeah, I mean, I already said before, I'm higher on him than both of you and John were. I mean, I saw that he missed tackles, but for the most part, even if he was, you know, wrapping up and having to drag the guy down, he was making tackles. If you get a good special teams player, it's something that this team hasn't really valued in the past, and I think if he can become that, I mean, How is Dylan Cantrell? I mean, that's a guy that people had graded very high for the Chargers. I mean, we've seen other guys like Tevin Reese get drafted late and not make the team as well. So I think people have very high expectations, but at the end of the day, the sixth round pick is more than likely not going to turn into a starter, and people are mad that this guy's not going to be a starter. I understand, you know, with the sixth round pick, the best case scenario might be getting a big time special teams contributor, but each position has its own value. I thought C+ for not really getting a need, but also knowing that you weren't going to get your starting left tackle there is kind of the way I valued that one. So let's get to the universally probably best graded pick. The pick that I have the highest grade on, and that is KJ Hill in the seventh round. This is a guy that was thought to go much earlier in the draft, a few rounds earlier in the draft, and a guy that Tom Telesco himself said that he wasn't planning on taking, in that round, because he wasn't planning on taking a wide receiver in round seven after they had already kind of addressed it with the Joe Reed pick. But he falls there. The Chargers end up getting one of the best route runners in the entire draft. They get a really crafty slot receiver that has some Keenan Allen type of plays on his tape, just the way that he kind of sells himself into those routes and the way he kind of hides what he is going to do from defenders to get open. And that's what my first initial reaction was, David. They got a guy that all he did in college, even though he might have been somewhat limited athletically, was get open. And I think he should be able to do that in the pros. So for me, I really like that pick. But what was your grade on it?
Oh, man, you're not the only one. I love this pick, too. I think the value here was absolutely insane. I mean, you watch KJ Hill, and this guy just catches the ball. That's all he does. He gets open. And, hey, the last time the Chargers went with a guy who gets open with route running instead of speed, that turned out extremely well for them. So why not add another guy to that third wide receiver position where the Chargers have been looking for somebody to contribute at that spot, someone that they have not had for a couple of years since Tyrell Williams' absence. I think KJ Hill is going to step in right away, be a very productive player, a very sure-handed player, a reliable player, and I think he's going to help this offense immediately. The grade is an A+.
Yeah, I like the A+. I ended up giving it an A just because, obviously, you still don't know how it's going to turn out. And obviously, with this guy, there were big enough concerns for so many teams to pass on him. There was also, you know, some off-field concerns of people saying that he doesn't like to be coached and stuff like that. It's hard to kind of piece those things apart. But, I mean, it would make sense to, you know, that maybe being the reason why he fell. Because on the football field, I mean, the guy just made plays. He has really good hands. He's not a deep threat, but he caught all the deep balls that were thrown to him. He also has some circus catches in his repertoire as well, but he is going to be a guy that, especially for a young quarterback in Herbert and with Tyrod Taylor, who's somewhat limited, you have another guy that can just get open quickly. You don't have to wait and go through a bunch of reads. It's like he's either going to get open really quick or he's not going to get open. If somebody jams him or something like that, it's going to be really tough on him. But he's a guy that's very slippery at the line, gets open, creates space and zone coverage, and I think could have a lot of receptions and is the more likely of the receivers to kind of win that wide receiver 3 spot, at least as a pure receiver. But that is going to wrap things up for those grades. Now it's time to get into our final overall grade. So, David, I mean, if I was adding up all your scores, I mean, we're looking at a pretty low overall grade for this draft class.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could say that. But honestly, looking at the overall product, I mean, you pick Justin Herbert in the first round, you get Kenneth Murray, and then you really just add to the offense quite a bit after that. And the way they went about it, the players that they got, really makes me believe they have a plan for how they want to execute this offense. So with that in mind, I was at C+, but I think I'm going to go B- just because I think the players that they got, the potential to add to this team is going to be great. If the coaching staff is going to put them in positions to use their unique skill sets to help the Chargers win.
Yeah, I definitely thought you were going somewhere in the C's just because, I mean, I think you had one A grade. And did you have any B+ grades even besides that? I'm not sure. I can't remember, but looking at the product as a whole, and there's a lot of people, you know, saying, would you keep this draft class or the 2019 draft class? And I think that's a discussion we'll have on another day as well. But when I look at it, I mean, it's probably somewhere between a B- and a B, just because, I mean, there's only so much you can kind of grade on Justin Herbert. I'm only judging it based on who I wanted the Chargers to draft there. So obviously I have it a little bit lower, but that's the obvious wild card. If Justin Herbert turns out being a franchise quarterback, this draft class with the other guys that they've drafted, and I mean, assuming that some of those guys pan out, is absolutely an A. But we just don't know that yet. So I guess, I mean, knowing that my grades were definitely higher than your grades were, I'll go with a B for this conversation. I think the Chargers have a plan and they executed that plan. They got weapons to attack those things, but I can't give it any more than a B. And the reason I wanted to go B minus is just because the two main things, you didn't address cornerback and you didn't address offensive tackle. You can't get a B plus, an A minus. You can't get any of those things when you ignore two big needs like that. If it's one big need, you can kind of write that off just saying, hey, you're not going to be able to address every need in a draft class, and all those guys wouldn't have worked out anyways. But to just totally ignore cornerback and offensive tackle is the reason for me it can't be any higher than a B. But I mean, I'm happy with that. It's really more of a B minus, but I didn't want to give both the same grades. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. On tomorrow's show, we are planning on having a special guest, an Oregon expert, to come on the show to talk Oregon football and to talk about Justin Herbert and what we can expect. So you're definitely going to want to tune into that. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. Whether it's subscribing to us on Apple Music or following us on Spotify, we would really appreciate it. Also, we got a couple more voicemails. Keep the voicemails coming, guys. If you want to get on the show, the number's 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow to talk more about this NFL draft with an Oregon Ducks expert. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.